Welcome to the Park Snacker Pod, where we chat about Disney Parks news. I am Matt, and I'm with my co-host Katie today.
Hello.
Katie, how are you doing?
Doing great over here. I'm glad it is Wednesday already. It's already been, I don't know, I feel like it's been a topsy-turvy week, but we're making it through. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You almost couldn't get through the intro there. I'll be honest, this is the second take though, so
it's okay.
The first one didn't go as planned, but we're gonna, we're gonna keep the show going. Yeah, things are going well over here. You know, just waiting for this baby to come. You know, we're only a couple weeks out now.
Yay.
From having our second kid, so it's just lots of craziness happening around this house, just getting things ready, things prepared, being reminded of Disney. My wife. So there's this company called Pura, and they're like these air fresheners that you plug into the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's like a cleaner, you know, I'm using air quotes here, like a cleaner air freshener. But the scent that she got, just coincidentally, the scent that she got reminds me of walking into the Grand Floridian lobby and like, you know, into the villa's lobby as well. So since it's still like fresh in my mind, and you know, we stayed there for like a week, I came up, she just put it in today. I was in the basement, and then I came upstairs. I'm like, oh my God, it smells just like the Grand Floridian lobby. So I was like, oh, just, it made me want to go to Disney so badly today. It was bad. Like I was Melissa, you know, next year, you know, maybe March, you know, I think we should, maybe we'll go. So I got shut down pretty fast. So she's like, let's not even talk about it right now. So
yeah, there you have a couple of things that need to happen before the planning can start there.
Exactly, yeah.
But I love that. Scent memory is 1,000% a thing. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. If you're interested what it is, I don't know what it is like off the top of my hand, but I'll message me and I'll make sure to find out. But yeah, Pura, they're not sponsoring this episode, but yeah, Pura, it's great air fresheners. Love it so far. So
very good. Very good.
Yeah. But yeah, things are well. One quick announcement, you know, I was just talking about the baby. So we're going to go on hiatus, in a couple weeks. So we have this episode, and then next week's episode will be the last before we go on hiatus, you know, due to the baby coming at the end of the month for me. And I don't know when will be the right time to come back. You know, maybe it'll be a week, 2 weeks, who knows? I don't know what the transition is going to be like. But, you know, I'll keep you posted on that. You'll probably just see an episode like will appear one day and you know, sometime in April or May. But yeah, we'll be shutting down. Katie will have some good time off. So
very cool.
Yep. So that's happening. And for today's episode, wow, it was quiet this mm-hmm. week. We have good stuff to talk about, but nothing like major. You know, nothing. It was very, very quiet. Nothing really happening going on. I'm happy because, you know, I always say the first week of March, great time to go. Man, was I proven correct this past week. So we'll talk about that. Easter is coming back to the Grand Floridian. Some Galactic Star Cruiser news, nothing much there. And then a former Walt Disney Imagineering executive is now coming back to Walt Disney Imagineering. He left for a while, Bruce Vaughn. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that. That was breaking news about like a couple hours ago. So we just added that in. And then we're gonna talk about the Boulder Ridge room renovations, which, you know, I love Wilderness Lodge, so I gotta talk about it. And then the new DVC at the Disneyland Resort, the Villas at Disneyland Hotel. We're gonna be talking a bit about that as well. So got some good stuff happening. So why don't we get started? So first, of course, we always got to talk about Park Snacker, where it is a free mobile app for all Disney fans where you can rate, review, and discover over 70,000 menu items at Walt Disney World. You can connect with your friends to see what they're snacking on, browse menus, create custom lists, and so much more. So head over to parksnacker.com today to download the app. Available on iOS and Android. Again, head over to parksnacker.com today to rate and review what you eat and drink at Walt Disney World. All right. So I know, you know, I know we're about to go on hiatus for, you know, for a bit, but I do want to start something new.
Woo.
At the top of every show. And I guess I'll call it Snack of the Week because it's easier. But we're going to feature either a snack, you know, lunch, dinner, breakfast plate, you know, some kind of food or drink. And we'll just, you know, we'll just talk about it real quick. You know, it doesn't have to be a long conversation, but we just want to talk about something. So, you know, this week, you know, maybe Katie, next week you can bring something to the table. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe we'll alternate. Maybe we'll do that.
That's good, because, yeah, I didn't know I had homework for this episode, so now I'll be prepared.
You didn't. You didn't. Yeah. I had this idea a couple days ago because I saw on my Park Snacker feed someone had posted a snack that I've never seen before, and I was like, I need this, like, stat. So on Park Snacker, the handle Second Star Diaries posted that they ate a buffalo chicken bowl over at the Fairfax Fair in Disney's Hollywood Studios over on Sunset Boulevard. Now, the Fairfax Fair is not really known for, like, you know, their food. Like, they have, like, I've eaten breakfast there before. I don't know if I've had anything else. Like, you know, just I remember just getting, like, a breakfast sandwich from them. But this buffalo chicken bowl looks great. And they gave a really good review. So the buffalo chicken bowl has its chicken breast nuggets tossed in buffalo sauce, topped with coleslaw, and served on mashed potatoes in a waffle bowl.
It's kind of wild, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot going on in it. It looks amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks really good. The, you know, the review that we got from Second Star Diaries, you know, the buffalo sauce was a good medium sauce. She's in all caps, she wrote that the mashed potatoes were amazing, but they do have the skins in them, which I personally love, and she likes that as well, but sometimes people don't like the skins on their potatoes. There was a slight sweetness from the waffle bowl that gave it a little something extra to balance out the buffalo sauce. And she wrote that it was so good. She gave it a 4.5 out of 5, but the only reason she took off a half star was because of the price at $13.99. But she does have to say that it was super filling, and she didn't feel like she needed anything else until breakfast the next day. So, you know, I got to say, this is a great review.
Yeah, that's a great review.
It is. Excellent review. Love it. But I saw this and I was like, wow, this, I think I mostly wanted it because it's buffalo chicken in a waffle bowl, which I've never
That's so
seen
wild.
Before. Yeah.
Like, I would never think about it. But I love a good waffle bowl. So, like, a waffle cone bowl is good in anything, probably. So, I would definitely try it. And honestly, like, I think $13.99 is probably pretty on par with what you would spend on, like, a chicken finger meal at this point, too. So,
yeah.
At least
I mean,
it's a little different.
The thing, though, it doesn't look like it's that big.
Yeah. It's heavy, though. All of that combined is heavy.
That's true. Yeah. So. But, I mean, it looks really good. I want to try it. I needed to talk about it on the show. I am going to post about it on, the day this. I'm going to post it on our Instagram feed. So it's going to be there whenever you want to check it out. It is in Park Snacker. It's the Buffalo Chicken Bowl over at Fairfax Fair in Hollywood Studios. So check that one out. All right, so that is the item of the week. Maybe item of the week.
Item of the week, that's good. Because way you could be like a drink of the week, snack of the week, or it could be meal of
like
the week.
Like a meal, yeah. I think item of the week. That's why, like, in Park Snacker, we call everything items.
Items, yeah. Well, then it makes sense to be item of the week, man.
Yeah, so I think maybe we'll do that. But
we're
brainstorming
here.
Snack of the week sounds better, yeah. Yeah, still, we got some ideas in the works, so.
Always working on something over here.
Yeah, so, all right. So that's the item of the week. So let's get started with some news. So, all right, Katie, I'm so happy.
I know.
I was messaging Katie because, you know, I talked about this last week about how I'm going to look at the wait times for this upcoming week, the first week of March, you know, after, what was it? The Run Disney event, the half marathon weekend. I'm a broken record now. I always say that, you know, the first week in March is always a really good time to go. Last year, because of COVID, there was still a lot of revenge travel that they call it. So it was actually really busy last March. but it's back to normal this year. And I thought, you know, I would just have to go by wait times, but I didn't get just one article,
mm-mm,
not two,
mm-mm,
not three, but I got four articles about wait times and park crowds this past weekend and how great they were, you know, to be there, and how low the lines were, and, you know, how it just wasn't as crowded. And I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it. So
yeah, I you sent me the first one, and anytime you send me an article, I'm like, oh man, this is gonna be juicy, because usually we wait until we actually talk about things on the news, but when it's real good, you send it to me. The yeah. second I opened it up, I was like, oh my God, you're feeling real proud of yourself right now, aren't you?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
No, I was real proud. So hold on, I got to go through these articles real quick. Well, I'm not going to read them, but so the first one I came across, you know, it was from the Disney food blog, you know, this little, you know, Disney news website. Just kidding. They're huge. So their title was "Something Weird in all caps is happening in Disney World today." And
which is the only preview I saw when you sent me the article. And I was like, oh man, is this another Disney TikTok trend? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the article they wrote, well, it's feeling a bit like topsy turvy day in Disney World with wait times. Pretty much it was, they just go on and talk about how it was very low wait times throughout like the entire day. You know, where like a Flight of Passage will be like 60 minutes, you know, same with like Slinky Dog and Rise of the Resistance, you know, everything just being like really low. I was like, oh man, that makes me feel so good. But then I saw another one, the second one coming from allears.net, another big Disney news website. The title of this article, "These Hollywood Studios wait times will blow your mind with a mind blown emoji."
Bait, click, like, bait, click, or click, bait,
oh, yeah.
Click, bait.
Click, click, bait, yeah. So same thing. This article just talks about all of the, like, what allears.net does is they actually, like, I don't know if they post it every day, but, like, they go park by park and almost hour by hour, actually they do go hour by hour of the park opening to close, of what like the average wait time is. And they pretty much just show that it was very, you know, again, low crowds. And then they wrote another article, which I think came out today, this one came out today. "Why you should skip Genie Plus right now in Disney World." And it was another one of the articles for, so the first one I mentioned was for Sunday. And then this one was for Monday, just how wait times being low. So pretty much, you know, another one. But this next article is my favorite one. So Touring Plans, another big website. They've been around a long time. You know, they help. They're really good with like getting data on crowd levels. You know, they help guests instead, if you don't want to buy Genie Plus, they help you with like what attractions to go to at like what time, because of like the wait times will be low. So they have like crowd calendars. So they have it on scale from 0 to 10, 10 being the most crowded. And most of the week it's sat anywhere between like, you know, two and four. And then I think like one day Magic Kingdom was like, on Saturday, it was like a 6.
And this is a scale out of 10.
Scale out of 10. Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they had an amazing quote, which was to me just like the cherry on top. Start quotes. "Well, this march is starting out very peaceful and lamb-like, and it should go much more liney by the end of the month. We even had a few park-specific crowd level 2 days throughout the past week at every park other than Hollywood Studios. And no park ever went above a crowd level 6 for the entire week." And this is the best part right here. "If you were in Walt Disney World this first week of March, I applaud you and congratulate you on what was probably a very excellent and uncrowded vacation," end quote. I love that. I love that. I'm just validated that first week of March is just very good, you know, very good time to go. And I'm only talking about this so much Because there's not a lot to talk about this week.
So. Is it because it was a low crowd week?
Because it was low crowd week.
It's just apparently a very quiet week. Here's my beef with it. Like, it's always, except for last year, obviously, extenuating circumstances, it's always been low crowd week. You've talked about it on this show.
Yeah.
But now we have three very big Disney news sites talking about it, and now they're going to ruin it for the rest of us. Now everyone's going to try to go the first week of March, and it's not going to be safe anymore. Like, don't you know a good secret to keep when you know? Come on.
Yeah, it's still going to be tough for people to go because, you know, kids don't have the first week of March, you know, so mm-hmm. families are not, like, they're probably still not going to come down. Like, I feel like more adults without kids are, you know, that's why we always went first week. Well, we kind of did it by accident the first time, but then we found out, oh, this is actually a really good time to go. So, I mean, I think like more adults, you know, might go, you know, anyone listening to this podcast, don't tell anyone, you know, I'm only telling you. But yeah, people are still going to go like the spring break weeks. People still go for President's Day weekend. They have the time off. There's always going to be the Run Disney event, the Princess Half Marathon, like week before. So crowds are still going to be like in between. So, you know, maybe it'll get a little bit more crowded, but I feel like it's still going to be a, you know, pretty low time. So,
yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, love it though. Love it. I'm gonna be mad though. You know, once my kids start school,
and you're not gonna be able to go. Oh,
we can't go during that time. So.
Yeah, just pull them out of school. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, my parents did that to me, but I just remember it kind of sucking because it's like, oh man, I have so much work to catch up on. I mean, in the end,
poor child had to get drugged to Disney World.
I know. Well, it was always work. When we went in. You know, when I was a kid, it was always during Teachers Convention Week. So we had like 2 days off, but then, you know, we missed like 3 days of school. But it's all right. You know, here I am today. I'm fine. You know,
you somehow made it through.
I made it through. So
graduated grade school. I assume.
Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah. So anyway, so thank you for, you know, I just need to get on my soapbox for a little bit. And I needed to win like this. This was, I felt real good about this one. So.
I know you did. I'm very happy for you.
Yeah. Hold on. I think I need to read that quote.
Oh my God.
At the end one more time. Yeah. It was probably an excellent and uncrowded vacation. Oh man, I just love that so much. Anyways.
See, I think the first half is better. It was lamb-like. But now it's gonna be more lion-y by the end of the month. Like, I just really enjoy that they used lion-y.
Love it.
That was good.
Love it.
So, props to you, touringplans.com. Props to you.
Yeah. Who wrote this? What was it? Len Testa that wrote this one?
Oh, I don't know.
No. Becky, shout out to you, Becky, for
Becky.
Amazing quote. Appreciate it.
We love you, Becky.
Yeah. I don't know if you're listening, but if anyone knows Becky Gandilian from Touring Plans blog, let me know. And tell him I said thank you.
Thanks. All
right. Well, let's get to some, some Disney.
Actual the Disney, news.
The Disney news that we have this week. So one thing that people love, you know, Easter's coming up. I don't even know what day it is. Do you know what day Easter is?
April,
I have no idea.
April 9th?
Easter. What day is it this year? It is April 9th this year.
Yes. Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't go to church and I don't follow. Like, I have no idea what day Easter is anymore.
Same.
I have no idea.
I just know it because of my job and travel schedules I've had to create. So
truth. Yeah, that makes sense. So everyone loves going to the Grand Floridian during Easter because they have a couple things there. First being, you know, the Easter eggs that pastry chefs, that's the word I'm looking for, like the pastry chefs create all these wonderful Easter eggs, like these huge eggs that have, you know, the theme from like the movies. There was a Kevin one this year. I wish I posted a link for you, Katie. Did you see that one?
I think I saw the Kevin one. I think these are cute.
Okay.
I saw them briefly. I'll have to look them up.
Yeah there's like Winnie the Pooh, you know, they're just, everyone just loves goes taking photos of them, and, you know, they're just super themed. So the Easter eggs are now back over at the Grand Floridian. But then for the second year, They also brought back the Grand Cottage. And now that is just a small little cottage in the center of the lobby that it sells a collection, a selection of house-made Easter treats. So that operates between 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily. And there, you know, it has a pretty extensive menu anywhere. You know, the prices go from like $4.50 to $50. But you can get like hot cross buns, a peanut butter cereal egg. There's all these different kinds of cake pops. They had a lemon blueberry Mickey whoopie pie. And the thing I would want the most is a cream cheese carrot coffee cake. Like I want to make that at home now just because that's carrot cake is like, I'm not a big fan of cake, but I love carrot cake. It's my favorite. So good. Yeah, and there's a lot more.
You get your vegetables and your fruit and your dessert all at the same time. So,
exactly. Perfect. Yeah. And my caffeine from the coffee.
And your caffeine from the coffee. Perfect. I'd be into it. I don't like carrot cake, but I'd be into it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a shame that you don't like it.
So. Well, I don't like vegetables, so.
You don't even taste the carrot.
No. Carrot, no. I am passionately against carrot cake, but that's okay.
Oh, man. That's
on principle. That no actual reason. I'm sure it's very delicious, and I love a good cream cheese frosting, but don't be sneaking vegetables in my desserts.
Thank you. Truth. All right. So that's back at the Grand Floridian. Pretty dope if you're in the area, you want to get some Easter celebration going on while you're at Disney, you know, check that over there. They have all the Easter eggs up and the cottage. So check that out over there. Any thoughts on that before we move on to the next piece?
No, I think this is cool. The eggs are always really fun. I love seeing everyone's pictures of it. I don't remember the Grand Cottage from last year at all. I don't remember it being a thing.
I don't remember it either, but apparently it's in its second year. Now it's so.
It reminds me a lot of like the gingerbread house that they do at Christmas time.
Yes.
So I think it's cute. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
They always have the gingerbread house over there during Christmas where they sell treats out of it. They're like, oh, why don't we do this for Easter? So, because they're already bringing a lot of people in to go see the eggs. So you know, why not?
Hey, look, a new way to make money. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So next up here. So we actually maybe it was like a month ago now. We talked about the Galactic Star Cruiser and its schedule and how Disney was removing certain what they call departures. So if you do the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser, you're, you know, there for a couple days, but they're actually removing in the fall. They're only doing two departures per week. So, you know, it's pretty much in the middle of each week where there won't be any departures at all. So I assume it's because of demand that, you know, they're just not going to be doing those departures anymore. So, you know, we don't need to speculate like we did last time. I just thought it was interesting that it started in the summer because what they were doing in the summer, they were moving people to different dates and actually giving like a discount to those people where they had to like move them for like the inconvenience. So, you know, now they are doing something similar in the fall as well, which, yeah, I don't know what that means for the Star Cruiser, but
I feel okay. I know you said no speculating.
No, we could speculate. Speculate.
I just feel like they could be raking in so much money if they literally just cut the cost in half. Because the problem they're seeing now, and I think we mentioned it last time we talked about it, is that the Ultimate fans who are okay with dropping $6,000 on a two-day thing, which no shame if you do, more power to you, but us lowly people over here can't do it as much as we want to because that's just out of our price range, right? However, cut that price in half, I would absolutely consider doing it. Or something. Other people could, right? Like, then they'd be able to have more cruises and make more money. Like, I don't understand why they're cutting cruises but keeping the cost high versus just do the same amount of cruises and open it up to your entire demographic.
Yeah.
Like, this could definitely be in line with your deluxe resort pricing. I mean, that is exactly, like, you have full deluxe resorts all the time. This makes me mad.
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing and I want to try it at some point, but I'm fearful that it won't be around much longer in the same way it is now.
Yeah.
And this is how I want to experience it. So, you know, once again, if anyone wants to sponsor me on the Galactic Star Cruiser, that'd be great.
Us.
So sorry, that was a slip up. If anyone wants to sponsor Park Snacker on the Galactic Star Cruiser, that would be superb. just let us know. I can send you my Venmo.
But yeah. I mean, they're already cutting the price for like DVC members, and like now cast members can get a 50% off cruise.
Which,
so, you know, are they taking a big loss for that? Like, I would love to know what like the operating cost is for, you know, all of this. Yeah. You know, it just it seems a little too expensive, especially because a real cruise where there's way more cross for an actual cruise, and you're paying way less. Mm-hmm. Like you can get like a week's cruise for probably cheaper. I don't know. I don't know the prices for cruising, but I know it's not, you know, not that expensive.
Well, heck, I'm sure they're probably still just trying to break even from even building the thing.
It's not even that big. Yes. It's not that big.
Okay. I don't know.
Rooms aren't that big either. I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know. I just think I feel like they're charging way too much and they're trying to make way too much money on this. But I feel like the costs for everyday daily operations, you know, it's not, I feel like they're not high.
No.
I might be wrong. I don't know. But yeah, I think they could absolutely cut the price on this. And yeah, it'll be interesting. In one of the articles, it does say that like Disney is learning, because they did release a statement, and Disney pretty much said like, yeah, we are learning how, you know, every day of, you know, what works best for the customer and stuff like that. So,
or the guests. Which is good. And this, it actually, like, it makes me think that maybe they are going to do just that and like cut the price and open it up more and whatever, but they have to do it incrementally. Otherwise, people who don't have a Disney News podcast and talk about this kind of crap on a weekly basis will be like, oh my God, something must crazy be happening. Like, you know, Disney messed up. They know they messed up or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to do it in little spurts, so it's not as obvious of like, oh, wait, we totally overestimated what we should do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Time will tell. We'll see what happens. But we'll keep you updated on this.
I'm very invested in this, and I don't know why. Because, like, I don't know why, but I'm very invested in this.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. Well, that's that news. So this next piece was kind of breaking news. But, you know, Bob Iger, you know, he came back and he wants to put creativity, back into Disney. So it was just announced that former Imagineer Bruce Vaughn is making a return to Walt Disney Imagineering as the co-lead of Disney's theme park creative team. He is going to be the, He's going to be the chief creative officer of Walt Disney Imagineering. He actually, he started in Disney World back in 1993 as a senior technical specialist and moved up to chief creative executive, where he led WDI with Bob Weiss. So Josh Damar did put out a full statement, announcing his return effective March 20th. He's going to help with a lot of projects, and everything that's coming up on the horizon. I'm excited about this. He left in 2016. It's how many years later? 7 years later. And I'm excited because he's a face that I remember always seeing. I always remember him because there was a special called like Walt Disney World Hotels that would air on like the Travel Channel or like Destination America. And his face was like always on there. So that's how I always knew who Bruce Vaughn was. But he apparently did, a great job over time. I this is breaking information. I just added it to our notes. So I didn't get to see like what his credentials are, like what he actually like worked on over the years. But it sounds like this is, a good step in the right direction to bring a creative back like Bruce. So this is exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. I recognize the name. And in the article that we were reading, I mean, he's pictured at Pandora's groundbreaking with my best friend, Joe Rohde. So clearly he has good mentors. So I'm excited to see what this means.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. So, all right. So that's some fun news. So hopefully he does something cool. All right. So we have a couple more topics today. I think, so we're going to talk about the Boulder room renovations, but I'm going to actually save that one for last. We'll talk about the villas over at the Disneyland Hotel. So this is a brand new DVC tower that's coming over at the Disneyland Resort. And they announced that it will be opening on September 28th, 2023. So this is exciting. So the villas at the Disneyland Hotel will celebrate the magic of creativity and storytelling through a blend of contemporary designs, carefully curated pieces inspired by the stories, characters, and worlds of Disney animation. There will be 344 whimsically themed rooms, including Duo Studios. We'll talk about what that is. Deluxe Studios, 1 and 2 bedroom villas, and grand villas as well. So, yeah, I want to talk about this because, you know, we've always complained in the past, especially about Contemporary Resort, about, like, theming of hotels. From what I see on this, I think it actually looks really good so far, just from, like, the renderings. So I'm excited to see what it actually looks like in the rooms. I lost my notes. Where are they? Okay, here they are. So first, we have the Duo Studios. So Duo Studios is a new name that I don't know if this is the first time Disney has used it, but it's actually very similar to the Tower Studios at the Riviera Resort, where it's just a small room. You know, again, it's a studio, but the bed is also, it's a Murphy bed. So like your living room then becomes the bedroom. So it's a much tinier room for usually a cheaper rate. At the Riviera, it's still actually pretty freaking expensive. But it's smaller room where, you know, you just have the bedroom the living room turned into the bedroom. So that's good for two guests, and it is actually Jungle Book themed. So that's pretty dope. And the rendering actually looks really good. You know, the Murphy bed comes down. You have Baloo just kind of hanging out over there. And then, you know, between the curtains, you know, it just looks it looks great, you know, when it comes to the Jungle Book. You know, it's only one image, so it's tough to tell. but I like it. So.
Yeah, I think it's cute. This, I think, is probably the only one that has, like, a very overtly characterized room, at least from the very few pictures we have, like, with actual Baloo right out there. But even so, like, it's not, I don't know, it's not, like, overly, it fits. It makes sense to me. And I think, yeah, using a Murphy bed idea gives you more room for people who either aren't in the room very often or who just want a little extra space. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep. So there's that. And then we have the Deluxe Studios, which sleeps up to 4. And that's themed to either Sleeping Beauty or a Princess and the Frog. So there's 2 queen beds. One of them happens to be a Murphy bed. So, you know, you do have, if you want more space, you'll still have like the living room area. And then your queen bed over there. So it's kind of tough to tell in the image that they have here of like what is happening. It's a bit more colorful, yeah. a little bit different, but yeah, it's kind of tough to tell what's going on in here.
It looks like one of the walls might be like in Tiana's almost there, like I'm gonna call it a dream sequence basically, but when the animation changes during her song and it's all pinks and yellows and whites.
It's Tiana sleeping with a Murphy bed,
and then it looks like Tiana sleeping, but I don't,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it. Yeah, but it's super cute. I really like it. And it's not, I don't know, I think it makes sense. It's not just like, hey, look, a big picture of Tiana. Like, it's cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it. It's not too bad. And then we have the 1 and 2 bedroom villas. You know, those sleep up to five and nine people. And those are Princess and the Frog themed or Fantasia themed. And in the photo, we see Fantasia. So there's the dining room table. There's lots of pinks, blues, greens. Sorry, not pinks. Purples, greens, blues. I really like the colors that are going on in this room.
Love the color scheme. This room is 100% my favorite by far.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't. Maybe it's tough to tell, but the other two rooms didn't really show that. Maybe because of the beds, I don't know. But anyways, like this 1 or 2 bedroom villas, like the colors are great because they always say whimsical, and you know this. You know, there's a Fantasia poster picture in the background where the kitchen table is. And it looks really good. Like, I like the theming that's going on in here. Yeah, it's tough to tell what's going on in the bedroom. We need more photos, but it looks good so far. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the 3 bedroom grand villas, they sleep up to 12 people. These things are like monsters.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's bigger than my own house. So
yeah, I even saw photos of like the outdoors. Like, there's huge outdoor patios. But yeah, there's like, you know, it looks like there's 2 stories here as well. Mm-hmm. And there's like these, I don't even know what you want, some kind of artwork going off this like this wall. I don't know. It looks really cool. Great colors. Love the color scheming of it. But from what I'm seeing, I really like the theming of this, and I'm excited about seeing more of these.
Oh my God, I'm just reading the description of the room. Show-stopping double-sided fireplace. It has a luxurious bathroom with a soaking tub, themed mosaic wall, walk-in mosaic shower. Oh my God, a spiral staircase. Like, oh my God, just take my money.
Yeah. Yeah, the fireplace goes to the outside.
Yeah, that's so cool, man. Yeah. It looks really cool. Big fan of this new design and style.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited. Oh, up a spiral staircase. Yeah,
spiral staircase. Yeah.
Did you read that or am I?
Yeah, I read that somewhere. Where did I just read it, didn't I? Yeah.
No. Did you read it out loud or did I just completely miss it?
I said there. I was kind of paraphrasing a bunch of stuff. I was saying that there was a spiral staircase.
Okay, I missed it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Super, super cool. I don't think I'll ever be able to stay in a grand villa. So,
okay. So we're also taking donations to sponsor Park Snacker to stay at Disneyland Resort.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we use my father-in-law's DVC points, but grand villas are way too many points.
No.
You need a lot for those. But yeah, if you want to start booking these, that it begins on March 17th, 2023. And again, you don't have to be a DVC member to book these. So, check it out. Go to just Disneyland.com and you can look at the photos yourself, but looks good. So yeah, I wanted to bring that up because, you know, I also want to talk about Boulder Ridge. Now, when I stayed there one night in September. We were told by one of the bellhops that they were literally about to start doing room renovations over there. And I might be biased because, you know, this is my favorite resort. But I'm like, this is how you do a freaking theming for like a Disney hotel. Yep. So, you know, we've always talked about how contemporary with the Incredibles is really bad. Mm-hmm. I'm not actually, the Polynesian recently had like Moana rethemed and it's still a bit over the top. Mm-hmm. Like it's way too much for me. I think Animal Kingdom does a really, really good job with their theming. There's like little bits and pieces of characters spread out. But yeah, Katie, before I kind of go, cause I don't want to go off on a tangent, but you know, before I start, I had you watch 2 videos.
Mm-hmm.
What did you make of the theming for the Boulder Ridge Villas over at the Wilderness Lodge?
I loved them. They feel like an apartment. Like, they feel like how I would style an apartment if it were my style. But, like, it it wasn't overstated, it wasn't in your face Disney, but it had a lot of really, really good ties to different Disney, either Disney historical things, Disney characters, like the little Chip and Dale silhouettes on the pillows, on the couches, yeah. Like so simple, but like they're there. And then losing my mind at the window curtains, because the curtains, when you shut them, they're actually like different train maps and train stations of all kinds of different places at Disney and Disneyland. Like mm-hmm. they have Artist Point, which is at Wilderness Lodge. They have Grizzly Peak, which is over at DCA. Geyser Point. Oh my God. It was so cool and so well done. I just loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got really excited because the official Disney YouTube channel posted a video calling, they have a series called, Details We Dig. And they talked all about the Boulder Ridge Villas. And I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't realize that, you know, that you could see it now.
Yeah.
And then I Googled, you know, Boulder Ridge Villas one bedroom tour or bedroom tour. And luckily a channel let me get the channel name. I want to give him credit. Disney_Loungers posted a video 3 weeks ago. I wanted to see if I can get, you know, whatever reason. He's just like me. He posted the perfect room tour where you just walk around with a camera. That's what I did on the Park Snacker channel for a couple room tours. Like, you just walk around, show it, and that's all I need. I don't need anyone talking about, like, yeah, so you have tons of luggage space right here. Here's the washer and dryer. This door's got a knob. You know, I don't need any of that. So,
I like
anyways,
the voice. That was a good voice.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
For all of a sudden, you were like a strict Jersey Shore guy. That was cute.
Yeah. So, you know, I got really excited for seeing this. And, you know, so what I was saying was earlier, I was there in September and, like, it was it was still old, because Boulder Ridge was built 2000, like in the 2000s, and it, you know, it still looked like it, you know, it's had all of its like original furnishings, and like it is, to me though, it still felt like I was walking into like what a lodge would feel like, or like mm-hmm. a cabin or something. Like I still, even though it was, you know, 20 years old, I still loved it. I actually did a room tour video of it, but I never posted of it. So it was fun comparing the video I took to this new one. And I'm like, oh man, yeah, pretty much everything is like changed. But what I love about the Boulder Ridge room renovations is that it still gives that modern feel, but it still has the rustic, you know, mm-hmm. Pacific Northwest, even some Southwest, themes to it, which, you know, which I loved. So, you know, in the rooms they added a Murphy bed, and, you know, above it, above the couch, there's an awesome painting of Mickey and Pluto just enjoying the outdoors. And then in the background you have Goofy during the perfect cast. The kitchen was fully updated. The shower and bathroom were fully updated as well. The shower used to be like, it used to be a single door, and then it was all around the shower was tile going down, and then the upper half was glass. But now the entire shower is just glass. Hopefully that I described that well. And then the tub. So in a lot of the DVC rooms, in one bedroom, two bedrooms, they have a tub. But they also have like a window that like looks in through the bedroom. So you can kind of like, you know, open up shutters and close them if you want. So they actually got rid of the shutters from this room renovation. And now it's just a wall. And now there's a mural above the bathtub of Mickey and Minnie on a river in like a canoe near a waterfall. But yeah, and Katie, you know, also already mentioned, I was going to mention the drapes as well. She mentioned it, which was great. But the thing I love the most is they have all of these really cool fake travel posters. of, you know, making it similar to like real national parks. And, you know, the travel posters, they have the Whispering Canyon Cafe. Or is it cafe? They just have one of the Whispering Canyon. I think like Donald is looking out of the Whispering Canyon. And then they have one of Lake Elias. And Elias is actually homage to Walt's Disney's father's name and Walt Disney's middle name. And then another one is like Phalene Falls, which is also Bambi's girlfriend. You know, Phalene is the name of Bambi's girlfriend. But I just, I love it. You know, we ourselves at our house, we're trying to decorate our den of, you know, of like the Wilderness Lodge theme. So I think I mentioned on here, or at least showed Katie that, you know, we put up a really nice Wilderness Lodge print. But what we also did was, and Katie, I didn't show you this, my wife's mom, she actually passed away back in 2014, but when they did a tour of all the national parks, and at each stop, she actually bought travel posters from like Zion, Bryce Canyon, the Grand Canyon, Grand Tetons National Park, Yellowstone, and there's one more I'm forgetting, so there's six. And she beautifully framed all of these travel posters up, and they were always sitting in my father-in-law's, you know, basement. But, you know, we were like, hey, do you want those anymore? Like, can we take those? We would love them. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure, take them. So, you know, 2 weeks ago, before I even saw these, you know, new updates to Boulder Ridge, we hung, I hung up all of the travel posters, you know, framed up in our den, and it looks wonderful. Katie, I'll have to show you the photos
of
it. Please
do. That's so fun.
Yeah, but now I see Disney putting up the fake travel posters. I'm like, yes, I love it. I love
it. You're right on theme. Yeah. That's so cool.
And the travel posters actually look very similar in art style to what we have. Maybe I'll put like a comparison up on our Instagram stories of what we have. But yeah, these travel posters are, you know, from the 2000s. And I was like, oh, maybe Disney saw that. So, you know, I even mentioned on the podcast probably a while ago that Copper Creek, so that's the newest villa, you know, vacation club resort at Disney, or not at, you know, not the newest one at Disney, but over at Wilderness Lodge. So there's Boulder Ridge and Copper Creek. I was not a big fan of the Copper Creek rooms. Like, if I had to choose, I would still choose the old Boulder Ridge rooms over the new Copper Creek rooms. Just because, like, they're very modern and they don't give me wilderness feels. Mm. And there's, like, no Disney characters in those rooms besides, like, one little Mickey head. I watched another room, like, the most recent room tour I could find, which was, like, from 5 weeks ago. So I watched Copper Creek. I'm like, yeah, these are just, like, boring. So, like, Disney, again, just did a excellent job with the theming of Boulder Ridge. And I had to talk about it just because it's gorgeous. I love all the Disney details in it. It's still feels, give the wilderness Pacific Northwest feel, but you still got your Mickey Mouse. All your characters are in there, but they're not like thrown at you.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it so much.
I love it. Me too.
Yeah. I want to stay in these rooms. Now, like anytime I go to Disney, it's like, it's going to be real hard not going to Boulder Ridge. Like, I love these rooms so much. So,
yeah.
So check them out. What I will do is I will link the two videos that Katie and I watched. One is, again, the Disney official Disney Instagram channel. But I'll link both of those videos in the description of the show so you can check them out and see all for yourself. So. All right. Well, that is the news for this week. We do have one listener question. So, Katie, why don't you hit us with the listener question?
Yes. All right. This one comes from a good friend and always listener of the show, Laura. So Laura is asking, does the water at Magic Kingdom really taste as bad as everyone says? Please weigh in. Before we started recording tonight, I very briefly started talking about my feelings about this because I have a lot of thoughts. And Matt, you were telling me that you have no thoughts and you've just never given this any thought, which is mind blowing to me because
I have thoughts, but I don't think I've ever given it. I mean,
I have given this a lot of thought.
You also live there. You know, Florida water in general is Disgusting. You know, tap water is not good. Yeah. You go first though.
Yeah, so I have a lot of different ideas of why Magic Kingdom tastes the worst, but yes, in general, Florida water in general is just disgusting. It just tastes really bad. Not a fan. And that's anywhere you go in Florida. I don't think that's Disney specific. Magic Kingdom is worse than all of the other parks. My only theory, and I don't even know, Laura, if this is what you're asking, but it's kind of where I'm going to take it. My only theory is that since it's the oldest park, it hasn't had as many like water line updates or anything like that. And like anytime you're getting water out of a water fountain at Magic Kingdom, it's going to be one of the old brass, like metal, gross, actual water fountains versus like, for example, when you go to Galaxy's Edge over at Hollywood Studios, they now have the fancy little touchless water fountains that are, it's filtered water and it actually tastes, you know, like good water. So that's my one theory. But I mean, it brings up a really good point of like, never pay for water bottles at Disney, please. Always bring your own refillable waters. That's just a nice PSA because some people don't think about that. Always bring your own water bottles. Even Florida water is better than paying $5 for a bottle of Dasani. Because Dasani still tastes
worse. We pay for a lot of water.
Oh, no. But the one also good tip I always have for bringing your own water, if like you are weird about the Florida water thing, bring like Crystal Light packages or a little squirty Mio water flavor thing. Because then you can't tell at all. But yes, Magic Kingdom water does taste bad in some places. You're typically safe if you get it from like a quick service or a table service restaurant. And don't be afraid to be that person and dump your table service restaurant water into your water bottle, because I've definitely done that before and it's fine. You're allowed.
Yeah, I guess I never really noticed because, I mean, to be honest, most time, like we do bring a refillable water bottle and we try to get it from like a quick service stand or something like that. And we just like dump it in. But there are a lot of times where like I don't like, this was before Cora, you know, before we had our kid, but like on trips, I just don't like carrying bags with me. And the last thing I want to do is like carry a refillable water bottle. So I'll just keep buying Dasani. You know, I don't know why people have such beef with Dasani. It's
Dasani
freaking,
is gross.
What? I don't know. It tastes
so
like
bad.
Water. It's fine.
No, it's not. No.
I don't get the hate for it, you know. CJ gives it really good ratings on Park Snackers. So
well, okay, CJ.
I think she just rated water. I love that she rated water the other day. It's the
best.
That's why it's there. Yeah. CJ's good about rating the Diet Cokes too, so I love it.
Yeah, that is. See, now that is valid because some Diet Cokes are better than others. All Dasani is the same, and it's gross.
Yeah, I don't know. I love the smell of Disney water. Like,
yes,
just because it just reminds me, like, oh yeah, this is the smell of crap water, and I love it. Just, I know I'm in Florida when I'm smelling this water. I don't know. It's just bad. I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it. I haven't really given it much thought. The only thing I will
say. Like, you do get used to it.
Yeah. The only thing I will say is I highly recommend, again, this is not a ad for the show, but there is a filtration system called Berkey filters, and they are amazing. Like, we used Brita for a really long time, but then we started using Berkey, and it is an incredible water filtration system. So we have one literally in our kitchen right next to our sink where you like fill it up to the top, then it goes down and you just, you know, then you can fill up your water. It's a big rig, and oh man, it just creates the best filtered water. Like I can go to my stream in my backyard, fill it up with the water, and like, it'll be perfect. Like it is. Yeah. It's definitely a high end filter, like filtration system. We worry a lot about the water we drink. So, you know,
that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. It's also fun because when you buy one, they give you red dye as well. And they want you to like, it's a test. So they filter it through the water. I was amazed that the water was crystal clean.
Wow.
Like coming through the other side. I know. I know.
That's amazing. Just crazy.
I know. So Floridians, if you need a good way to filter your water.
There you go.
You know. I mean, I live in the Northeast where everyone claims we have the best water. That's why we have good pizza, good bagels, you know.
Okay.
So, have you never heard this before?
No. How does that have anything to do with your pizza and bagels?
We have the best pizza and bagels because of the water. Everyone says that.
Oh, okay.
Well, look it up. It's a thing. I swear, I'm not making this up. I'm not making it up. I guess people from Ohio don't understand. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyways. You and your water and pizza.
You know what? You know what? Fight me. I swear. I know.
All right. We're getting a little too crazy.
Oh, man. All right. New Jersey bagels are the best, baby.
Okay. Okay.
All right. So, yeah, that's the water talk we have, right? Anything else? Yeah.
No, that's about it. Thanks for your question, yeah. Laura. We can always count on you. Thanks for sending it to me and not to Matt this time because I was starting to take it personally.
So. I know. I didn't get any questions today, man.
It's a slow Disney week. I mean, it is what it is.
I know. Yeah, this was a bad week for. I mean, I shouldn't say it was a bad week for Disney. Just a slow week for Disney news. All right. Well, hopefully, you know. Wow, we still talked for like an hour, so hopefully, you found some enjoyment out of this episode. And you know, I was able to get on my soapbox for a bit, so I appreciate that one.
I feel like we had a lot of soapboxes.
I did, yeah. This was a me episode. I'm really sorry.
I enjoyed it, honestly.
Okay. All right, good.
I think we're good.
Good. All right, well, let's get out of here. So, Katie, where can we find you?
Oh, you guys come hang out with me on Instagram. I'm over at Magically Mootsy. And then, of course, on Parksnacker as well at Magically Mootsy.
Yep, and you could find me on Instagram, everywhere else, at Parksnacker. You know, make sure you download the Parksnacker app at parksnacker.com. Check out our shop we have over there, store.parksnacker.com. The link is also on our website. If you're not subscribing to the podcast, make sure you do that so you can get each and every new episode that comes out. You know, we're on all social media platforms. And if you can, rate and review the podcast. That'll really help us out, you know, get into other people's feeds. Also, if you can rate and review the Parksnacker app, that would be really wonderful as well. That'll help us out a lot. So I think that's it. So Katie, until next week, I'll see you then.
Okay, bye.